To order, please. Is there anyone that would like to do our opening prayer for us this morning? Any volunteers? Ms. Russell.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this day that you've given us, beautiful weather. I pray for our commissioners. I pray for our elected officials, Lord, that have to make decisions that affect the taxpayers in this area. I just pray you be with them in their decision making. I pray you be with each and every one of us today and our family. And I thank you for the blessings you've bestowed on us in the free country that we now live in. Be with us today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you'll join me in our pledges to our United States and Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay. Let the record reflect that all members of court are present with the exception of Commissioner Clark this morning. Commissioners, I would entertain a motion to approve our court agenda.
I move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Proclamations and resolutions. Employee of the month. Good morning.
Morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
I'm presenting March's Employee of the Month, and they are getting a $30 Benihana gift card. So if Billy Madison can come up here.
Morning, Judge. Morning, Commissioners. This morning, we're going to honor Lieutenant Chad Walling as Employee of the Month, and I've got a few things I'd like to say about Lieutenant Walling. Lieutenant Walling always goes above and beyond in every case he handles. In February, he was vital in the removal of a child predator that had been charged with molesting his own three-month-old daughter and three other victims in which the predator received a four-life sentence term. In every case that comes from our office, it is reviewed by Lieutenant Walling. It is because of his hard work that our agency has such a high conviction rate among criminal referrals. Last year, his life-saving efforts saved one of our own. Deputy Bronson Christopher had a heart issue. Lieutenant Walling kept him alive until paramedics could arrive. Lieutenant Walling's work ethic should be an example to all law enforcement. He is respected not only by all of us at Precinct 5, but at our agencies also. He goes out of his way to help and assist any agency, anytime. To me, Lieutenant Walling is what law enforcement should be. So, with that, I'd like to bring Lieutenant Walling up, please.
Congratulations, Lieutenant.
Congratulations. All right. Under the county clerk, commissioners, we need a motion to approve our minutes from our regular session dated February 27th, 2018.
Move.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we do have one person that signed up to comment on an item on the consent agenda, Mr. Yalek.
That's fine.
All right. Commissioners, we've had a number of items that have been requested to be moved to open. On page 4, item 9D3, bullet point number 7. On page 8, item 9I, 4 and 5.
Also on page 8.
9J2. There are no other changes to the consent agenda. Would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
Excuse me, Judge. On page 6, item DB1, there's a typo. Instead of timeline, it should be timberline. Just a state section 2 with regard to the approval of the replat.
Timberline estates.
D1B, consider and approve the final plat of, it says Timeline Estates, Section Two. It should be Timberline Estates, Section Two.
Okay, so we'll make that correction. Any other? 9D3, bullet point number seven on page four. Is that the Technology Products? Is that the one?
I move with those changes.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, page four.
Page four, Technology Products and Services from Phonoscope Inc. through the Harris County Department of Information/Choice Partners, contract number 15006MP-15 for various departments, local government code 271.102. Purchasing. This is a topic that has raised a lot of questions in the past, and so I'd just like to know how Phonoscope came to be in Montgomery County, where this request came from, and what services will they be providing to the county under this contract?
How they came to the county, I was not here. However, what would happen is a department, in this case, I would think IT, would request to purchase products and services provided by Phonoscope or a vendor. Purchasing would get with IT, determine whether we could purchase this item through a co-op. These items are technical in nature. A lot of times, you really don't know what you're going to come up with until the vendor shows up. So it's a cooperative effort with the vendor to build the scope of the work. What we then do is we bring the contract to Commissioner's Court to authorize the purchase of the services that are needed by the department through a cooperative contract, in this particular case, Choice Partners, and the court can then authorize that, and then we can then issue a purchase order, and then the department can get with the vendor, develop the scope of the work within the contract terms, and then do the work.
And this contract has gone, this particular contract has gone through our, your purchasing requirements. It meets all of the guidelines.
Yes, sir.
And as far as I'm understanding, it's a public utility that has every right to be in the right-of-way installing their lines if that's necessary to provide the services for this contract, correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And they've been on that, Choice Partners for how long? Do you know?
A long time. I know we use them in Fort Bend County for projects, so.
Kind of like a blanket release for asphalt, if you would, if we have a bid item for.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Anything else?
Are there departments using Phonoscope here already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need a motion on this particular item.
Move.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, item 9I, number four and five, page eight.
Sir, is Mark Mooney, could you step up? This is considering approving variances for request to install aerobic systems in a 100-year floodplain. After Hurricane Harvey, you and I had a conversation about concerns that you had with this type of agenda item.
You know, Commissioner, it was actually before Harvey.
Before Harvey.
We were talking about Tax Day and Memorial Day flood.
Correct.
That's how long ago
Correct.
It was. So,
if you could just give the court an idea of some of the concerns that you have with this, how it relates
yeah,
to.
Yeah, we had a meeting at Commissioner Nowak's office, and we were discussing flooding and drainage issues. And one of the things that came up, and we had talked about before, and I've talked to the rest of the court over time, we give a lot of variances for septic systems in the floodplain, and we have for as long as I can remember. And the thought was, if we eliminate a septic system variance in the floodplain, we eliminate a home being built in the floodplain, which then could eliminate a high water rescue. I haven't talked to the Environmental Health Department about it. This is more of an environmental issue than it is a flooding issue for me.
I don't know if they can. I don't know what prompts this, but I think if we can eliminate them, we eliminate that many homes. What do we have today, 12?
Yeah, 12 of them.
No, there would be 12 homes that would not be built in the floodplain. Now, remember that the homes that are being built in the floodplain are being built to our minimum standards. Every one of them is elevated a foot above the base flood elevation or the 100-year floodplain elevation. So, in theory, they shouldn't flood during a 100-year flooding event and should have a foot of freeboard, but I still think you're going to have to go in there and do a high-water rescue.
Mark, are all these houses built within the floodplain but elevated above the base flood elevation, or are the houses in some cases above, out of the floodplain, but the aerobic system's still in the floodplain?
That can happen as well. It's a case-by-case basis. You could have a house that actually has a pad site outside of the floodplain.
Right.
And
with
a septic
just
field
the aerobic
that's in.
Field inside.
And those that are in the floodplain, like you said, they're compliant. They're elevated. They meet our minimum requirements of construction in the floodplain.
How involved does your office get in these variances? I mean, environmental health, do they make the decision to do this?
For variances?
For variances.
We don't ever see them, Commissioner. As a matter of fact, the permitting of the home goes through the permit office, and then the permitting for septic goes through the permit office as well, with communication with Scott Nichols and his group. We don't see it in my office. As long as they build the house, they build it 1 foot above, and they get an elevation certificate, then they comply with our requirements.
So Scott Nichols and whoever else is making the determination whether they get a variance or not, correct?
That could be, yeah. It shows up on a commissioner's court agenda under environmental.
Why do we have to have a variance if the house is compliant with our rules and regulations? Why is a variance even necessary?
Don't have to have a variance for the home. It's the septic system only.
Okay.
And I think that's a state law that requires it to be built in an area that's above the floodplain and requires a variance through this commissioner's court to have it placed in the floodplain.
So it's not the house.
It's not the house.
Septic tank.
No.
Or the aerobic.
The house gets permitted, and the house will not be permitted unless it's compliant with our minimum regulations, and that's 1 foot above base flood elevation.
And as you said, it's our minimum standard, and hopefully at some point the court will be, you'll bring some information to the court for us to change our requirements.
We're looking at that right now. We've done a comparison. We're about 15 or 16 like counties in the region. About half of them are 12 inches or below freeboard, and about half of them are 12 inches or above. And the above, and there were only two of them that are at 24. Now, this doesn't include City of Houston or Harris County because they're just in the middle of changing what they're doing. These are counties like Fort Bend all the way down the Gulf Coast in an area that floods similar to Montgomery County. We had two that were at 24 right now. Nobody in the tests that I've done, nobody has made any changes yet. We're all talking about it. We're all communicating. And so I'm inclined to wait a little bit before I bring something to court. We've got another thing that's working called Atlas 14, which is a restudy of the data that provides us what a 100-year, 50-year, 25-year storm event actually is. And my first look through that document, it indicates that a 100-year event, which typically is 12 and a quarter inches here in Conroe, that may go up to 14 and a half to 15 inches. So that's under peer review now. It'll be sometime later this summer before there's any word of what that data will actually provide. But I suggest that it's going to be a higher number than we see now.
Would that require a redrawing of the FEMA maps?
In order to use that information properly, the maps really should reflect it. Now, Harris County went through a map redraw after Allison, and it took them 7 years to do it and $30 million.
Cool.
So nobody's really sure what counties like ours are going to do with this information if we can't have a map that changes to accomplish that change in the data set.
Are our floodplain boundaries going to change after Harvey?
Well, Harvey has actually been incorporated. The numbers from Harvey have been incorporated into the National Oceaneering and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA is doing a study called Atlas 14. That data is actually part of that study. And like I said, they're looking at the data that we use now that's universally used in this area is from 1961. So as everybody in this room knows, we get a 100-year event, seems like, every other month.
Right, right.
So bringing that into the equation, it shows that this so-called 100-year event is occurring a lot more often than what the data set said in 1961. If this data proves to be viable and we use it, the map should correspond to the change. And the big question is going to be, who's going to pay to change them? The federal government has not indicated that they're interested in making that change. And like I said, Harris County's done it, and it was a pretty high ticket back in the early 2000s.
Any estimate on what it would cost us, time-wise and dollar-wise?
Haven't even looked at it. We don't even know when the peer review is going to end. But talking to Russ Pompey with Flood Control District in Houston, it was $30-plus million to do theirs back in 2001 and took 7 years to complete. It's a big undertaking.
Do we have any idea how many variances we allow in a year?
I'm sorry?
Do we have any idea how many variances that we allow for aerobics in a year?
I don't have that number. I would say we probably do 75 to 100 a year. We've got 15 or so today. Typically, I think we see between 3 and 5 a commissioner's court meeting. Well,
and Commissioner Riley, one of my concerns is a lot of times we don't, at least my office, I'm not even aware of this showing up until it's on the agenda. I'm concerned about the continuing to develop in floodplains. I certainly don't want to have to put our first responders in harm's way to go in and get people unnecessarily. So on these two items, I've moved to reject them, at least my two.
Well, I don't think. Personally, I don't think we're prepared to reject these today.
No, this my two under Commissioner Precinct
Three,
not the rest of them.
Okay,
just my two.
Okay. Yeah, I certainly understand the concern. I understand what you're saying. But I think there's a lot of work we need to do on this before we just out and out deny aerobic variances. If the house is compliant, maybe that's what needs to be addressed. Don't give a permit for a house. If somebody comes in, gets a permit for a house, assuming they're going to get a septic, all of a sudden they don't, that's not fair to the homeowner.
And I agree. And this started out as a pretty quick dialogue that Commissioner Nowak and I had with one of my staff and several of your staff. And when I had talked to the rest of you, it was kind of set aside that, well, maybe each precinct will handle these on their own. But I do think it probably warrants a lengthy discussion with environmental. We haven't talked to them as a group.
I've never talked about this.
No, and I think it probably at this stage would need maybe to further a meeting with Scott and his group and see, you know, some of these, and I don't know, I think I have heard in the past that some of these variances for septic systems may actually be a requirement for a large tract of land in order to be accepted into a mud district. And Scott would have to speak to that. That's a little out of my jurisdiction. But I think because of that, it probably warrants a discussion with environmental before you make a final decision. Certainly denying a variance in your precinct is your option. But I think to blanketly determine the future, we probably need to sit down with environmental.
Commissioner Metter made a good point. Is there a septic permit required before a building permit is issued?
They're usually concurrent. They go hand in hand.
I hate to see somebody go out there and build a house and then not be able to get them.
The septic system would have to be approved before the final building permit. They're not going to permit a house
without
waste disposal.
Without the septic.
Okay.
Yeah. So
they happen fairly concurrent. It's one right after the other. Okay. Yeah.
Well, do they do the site work? Do they have to do the site work before they get a permit to build a house?
No. No, they.
All they have to do is say, I'm going to raise it a foot.
To build a house in a floodplain,
nobody has to lay eyes on it.
They have to have what we call an elevation certificate.
Ah, okay.
And a surveyor's got to go out there and shoot
and shoot the
forms before they pour the slab, if it's a slab on grade, to give us the information that says it's at least 12 inches above the recognized base flood elevation.
Okay. Mark, you may have said a while ago, I know you mentioned the other day in a meeting we were in, that some counties just require that they be at base flood elevation. They don't even require that 12 inches that we
That's
require.
True. And in fact, that is FEMA's requirement.
Really?
FEMA puts an ordinance together that all counties that enter the program use for a basic template. And then we can adopt certain things, I guess, a little higher than their minimums. But FEMA's requirement that we could adopt straight out require you to build at the floodplain.
Wow.
Mark, you said the Harris County spent $30 million. It took 7 years.
That is what I have been told.
They accomplished anything?
They remapped the entire county.
Did it do any good? That's the question.
It had an awful lot of flooding.
It probably put a lot of homes that were built into the floodplain.
We can spend all this money floodplain studying and doing all this other stuff, I'm telling you.
And floodplain boundaries move.
They do.
They're not.
I think our most recent map was 2014, I believe.
Yeah, they move. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to this, I think.
There is.
Yeah.
And Judge Doyle and I have talked at length about, you know, there's a lot of mitigation efforts that are ongoing all over this region. And I was fortunate enough, I guess, to be here in 94 when we began the first buyout program in Montgomery County's history. And I look at that program today, and there were 331 homes that didn't flood in Tax Day, Memorial Day, or Harvey, because they're gone.
Yep.
That's how you solve the problem.
Right.
Timber Lakes, Timber Ridge, River Plantation, those areas will continue to flood until those houses are removed.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
That's a subject that we probably need to have a full workshop on, what we do with flood mitigation going forward. Because I think you have a good point there.
Thank you very much.
If you need me to set up a meeting with Scott or Priscilla,
that's
say something, we can do that.
You know, we can use these two as kind of a test case to gather some more information, mm-hmm. learn more about it, but I'm not approving them at this point.
Commissioner, at this point, before you move to deny the variance, I would recommend that you defer those two items and we can discuss the ramifications of a denial of the waiver.
That's fine. We can just defer.
You want to defer?
I'll change the motion to defer items 4 and 5.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thanks again.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
You want to bring up Jay?
Judge, that next one is real easy. I just was, what in the, what?
There was a,
what
mis-
was
there, was,
the
there was a misspelling in the document, and we're just correcting the spelling. That's all it is.
All right. That's fine. I just wasn't sure what in the world it was.
That was just a misspelling.
Thanks. Move.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Our open agenda. We have a first item 11A is a presentation on our 2015 road bond program and overview of current markets. John, good morning.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
John Roebuck, BOK Financial. In front of you should have a presentation entitled Update on the 2015 Road Bond Program and Overview of the Current Bond Market. We were asked to put this presentation together to kind of give you an overview of where we stand on the road bond project. As you recall, in November of 2015, voters approved roughly $280 million in authorization for road projects throughout the county. On page one, we kind of summarize the first two issuances. We issued the first series about $60 million in January 2016, and then the second series, 2016A, in December for $80.4 million. So to date, we've issued $140.4 million of authorization, leaving us about $139.6 million going forward. On page two, we break out where those funds have gone, and we break it out by precinct and by the different series. On the first two boxes in the very top, we have the series 2016 and the 2016A, and we've broken out those proceeds by precinct. The $60 million you'll see there for the 2016 road bonds, broken out $10 million for Commissioner Metter, $10 million for Commissioner Riley, $30 million for Commissioner Nowak, and $10 million for Commissioner Clark. And then we've done the same exercise for the 2016A bonds there on the right. The total of both bond issues is there on the bottom, on the far left box. Again, $140.4 million allocated. We've spent $116 million so far, leaving roughly $24 million for projects going forward. I know as of March 9th meeting that the county has reimbursed resolutions or approved reimbursed resolutions for approximately $13 million. So those are funds that you promised to pay back when we issue bonds. And so today, if you'll turn to the next page, We're going to give you an overview of the bond market and tell you why now might be a good idea to start issuing the next tranche of bonds to pay for that $13 million and also try to lock in the rates where they are today instead of waiting for later in the future. Again, on page 3 is overview of the current bond market. It's a bond buyer index. This is a weekly snapshot of municipal bond rates. If you'll notice on the far right, the current rate is the 3.88%. The historical average since 2000 is 4.41, so we're below the historical average, but we're well above the historical low, which we saw in 2016. And also just point out, we've seen the bond buyer increase about 50 basis points or 0.5% since the beginning of the year. Rates have gone up, and the result of that is tax reform, Tax Cut and Job Act. It's also the economy doing better. And on page 4, we kind of go through some of the factors and challenges that could affect us in 2018. And again, this is not all inclusive. This is just some highlights. If I had a crystal ball, I'd tell you what rates are going to be in 6 months, and I probably wouldn't be here. I'd be on a beach somewhere. But this is kind of what we see in the market and the consensus for where the market's going throughout 2018. The Tax Cut and Jobs Act, one of the big things affecting municipal bonds is the tax exempt. They repealed the tax exempt advance refunding option for counties, cities, schools, municipal issuers. And so what that will do is will reduce the municipal supply in the market. And as a result, less supply should be a higher demand for bonds, especially in the higher tax bracket. Also, with the tax cut, they reduced the corporate tax rate from 35 to 21. So corporate investors, large investors, are probably going to demand more rate, higher rate, to have the same tax equivalent yield. So we're still trying to figure out, although we're in March, we're still trying to figure out how that's going to affect the market. The market has been really receptive to bond issues because there's so small, such small supply in the market right now. But it may be a challenge as we go forward and how investors see what yields they need to offset where they were a year ago or 2 years ago. Another factor is the federal funds rate. The Federal Reserve is expected to increase the federal funds rate 3 to 4 times in 2018. That's going to increase the short-term rates and cause a flattening of the yield curve. And then other potential challenges for 2018, obviously inflationary pressures. We've got a lot of debt in the national government. The economy is getting better. Interest rates are going to rise, which are going to cause inflationary pressures. Decrease in unemployment, which is a good thing, but it also lead to the Fed increasing short-term rates. And then increased volatility in the stock market, which obviously in turn causes volatility in the municipal market also. And then also the Washington's infrastructure plan, how we're going to finance it, how we're going to fund it, and how it's going to work. And then some other global factors, which could be positive or negative for the municipal market. The tensions in North Korea, the global economic news, and then focus on the various trade agreements throughout the world. And then on page 5, we've looked at the preliminary tax rate impact analysis. We've updated this from the bond election that was passed again in 2015. There in the middle, the green columns are the projected bond sales. We assume $30 million sold annually for the next 4 years, and then the fifth sale being the remaining authorization of about $19.6 million. We've used some conservative interest rates ranging from 4.5% to 6%. Again, these are 25-year debt bond issuances. And by those conservative rates and also conservative growth there for taxable assessed valuation, we're showing the county can issue this debt without increasing the tax rate there in the yellow column. And then on page 6, looking at, again, a $30 million bond issue, this is estimated debt service requirements. There on the far left is the current debt service requirements of the county, plus the estimated principal and interest, and then on the far right there is the total debt service requirements. Again, we ran these at 4.5% to be conservative. If we were to sell bonds right now, we'd be close to 3.95, 4%, given the market where it is today. And then with your blessing and your desire to move forward, if you'll communicate that today, we'll start working on an offering document and then come back to you on April 10th to ask you to approve a parameter order, not to exceed $30 million. If you need more, we can do probably up to $50 million without a tax rate increase. And we'll get to work on the documents. Marcus Dietz, your bond counsel, is here also. Although he has nothing to present today, if we come back on the April 10th meeting, he'll have drafted that parameter order for you all to approve.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you for the presentation. I agree with the points that you brought up regarding the future of interest rates and the bond market, where we expect it to move over the next 18, 24 months. Judge, commissioners, I know that Precinct 3 will need their full allotment of $18.6 million in 2019 By that point in time, we'll have every project underway, and we'll need to have that money available. So for...
We're pretty much out right now.
Yeah, we're ready to go.
I think we should move forward.
You're recommending $30 million a year? We may need to do... It sounds like we're going to need to do more than that.
I know I need 18.6 with...
$30 million is just a conservative number we tossed out there. We can do up to $50 million this year, and then probably see what we need.
Would a larger issuance drive a potential tax increase?
It could, yes, sir. We've got to find that balance of how much we can issue without increasing the tax rate, but also larger amount, larger block sizes, better investments, better rates.
Well, let's go with $50
million.
Yeah. Will 50 cover what y'all will need next year?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you proceed with that in mind, because that was kind of the thought of what... I know Commissioner Clark's got a huge balance still here. I don't know when he's not here today, but we'll go with that 50 for right now.
Ms. Phyllis, do you have any concerns?
We don't. I know, Commissioner, you and I talked about possibly issuing more than $30 million. Also, if you'll note in the first two blocks on page two, which is how the allocations went out, when we issue $50 million, it doesn't have to be split 12 million 5, 12 million 5. We can
split it however you
where
want.
The biggest need is. So we could allocate that out where the need is, and so it wouldn't have to be allocated to Precinct 4 until a later issue.
With rates looking as if they're going to rise, could you talk for a minute about any potential arbitrage situation we could get into, especially with Precinct 4 having, you know, $24 million issued but unspent?
We could get into potential arbitrage issues, Commissioner, that's correct. Basically, if you look at your investment earnings compared to the federal arbitrage yield, and actually, I'm not sure if I have the ARB yields on those.
And my point in bringing this up is we may, and I regret that Commissioner Clark's not here, we can address this when he is, but we may need to look at shifting, reallocating some of those to keep us from
an arbitrage position.
Being penalized,
right,
with a fine for basically it's when you're making more money on your investment than you're paying for the investment. It's not a good thing for us, a situation for us to be in, and it's one of particular concern.
And we have obviously spend down requirements based on time, and it's for the entire bond issue, so y'all have spent some money, but y'all need to start spending obviously more just to do away with the arbitrage.
Well, and you feel like that the balance that you have will be gone by the end of this year, Commissioner?
I'm sorry?
Mine will, I know.
The balance that you have currently will be depleted by the end.
Mine's gone.
Yeah.
I think we're in reimbursement mode right now.
We're filing our second reimbursement resolution today.
Yeah, we're gone.
Okay. I'm sorry, Commissioner 1.
Well, when 10 was approved,
and
that
Commissioner
was
2 and I
took all
about the fact that we'll need one for an upcoming project if it's set to be awarded.
$50 million will repay that debt. Will that still leave us enough for operating capital going forward, Commissioners?
I'm sorry?
If we do a $50 million issuance and pay back the $13 million that the county has loaned, would that still leave enough funding to...
It would for me.
We can make it work. It's going to be tight for the rest of the year.
But that's not all of it. 50 million is not all of it.
Oh, no, we have more.
We still got 139 million.
We could do different things, even if it doesn't work, but it should for me.
Okay. All right. Well, good. That's kind of where I wanted to find out where we were, if we needed to go ahead and move forward. So, John, why don't you begin, and Marcus, y'all start preparing that for our next April. Great.
Thank
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Okay. Consider and discuss presentation of regional transportation plan. I do have one individual that signed up to speak, Mr. O'Sullivan. Hold on just a second. We're going to allow citizens comment before the presentation here real quickly. And just to remind everyone, we'll now invite the public to address the court on any items on today's agenda, specifically noted on the agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks, and public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. It is not the intention of Montgomery County Commissioner's Court to provide a public forum for demeaning of any individual or group. Neither is it the intention of the court to allow members of the public to insult the honesty or integrity of the court as a body or members of the court individually. Accordingly, profane, insulting, or threatening language directed to the court or members of this court will not be tolerated. If this occurs, it may result in the cancellation of the speaker's remaining time and or removal from the commissioner's courtroom. So, Mr. O'Sullivan.
Good morning. Bill O'Sullivan, I'm from the Woodlands, Texas, Precinct 3. I'm getting up because I've gotten up here many times before, and I'm going to talk about planning. Now, we've run off some numbers this morning, and we find out that the majority of the numbers issued from the 2015 bond came out of Precinct 3. And the reason they came out of Precinct 3 is because they had a mobility plan. And even when they found that they were saving money on major projects, such as Rayford Road, those monies were redirected, and Commissioner Nowak merely went to the plan and went to the next items on the list so that the schools down in the Bender's Landing area in Oak Ridge North are now have proper mobility around them. And that needs to be done where you either you have density or countywide. As far as you do your planning for mobility based on density. In the state of Texas, the 20 largest counties have 75% of the population. So those are the counties that are going to need mobility because they have the most people, they have the most cars. And those are the things we're going to need for this county. And not just in Precinct 3. At any rate, as these things and these interest rates increase, you're going to get yourself into a negative position. Right now, at 3.75%, the cost of $1 million in bonds is going to be $670,000. That's not building roads. That's paying banks. So I'm going to try to work with the legislature to come up with a different plan because I don't think increasing debt is useful to what we're doing. And I think we need a better plan. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a presentation from HGAC on the transportation plan, the regional transportation plan for 2022-2045. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge, and the commissioners. My name is Vishu Lingala, and I work for HGAC as a principal planner, and I'm going to be facilitating the development of the 2045 regional transportation plan. So today, I'm going to be talking about the development of the regional transportation plan and also the upcoming public meetings for the next couple of months. I'm going to bring up my presentation. Okay, so as most of you know, we have started working on our update to the regional transportation plan. A regional transportation plan is a continuous plan that is updated once every 4 years. So right now, we are working on updating the 2040 regional plan to 2045 with a horizon year 2045. This is going to be a long-range plan that covers 8 county metropolitan planning area and which will be multimodal in nature and will be performance-based with set targets to be achieved in the next 25 years. So the first step in developing the plan is looking at where we will be in the 2045 with respect to our demographic projections, employment, and how our travel patterns change over a period of time based on these growth projections. Looking at the 2017 regional growth forecast, we see that we expect to add more than 4.2 million people in the 8-county region, mostly with the household population growing in the outer regions, including Montgomery County and around Grand Parkway region. And with respect to employment, we expect to add more than 1.6 million people to a total of almost 5 million jobs by 2045. So what this means to the transportation, specifically for Montgomery County, the population is going to more than double to reach 1.2 million people, and the job, and in 2045 we'll have about 300,000 jobs. So what this means with respect to transportation is we will have more longer trips and also more congestion on the roadway networks. So one of the indicators that we looked at very quickly over the last month is how the commute flows look within the region when you divide the region into three concentric circles with Beltway 8, Grand Parkway, and the regional boundary as three regions, we will see more than three times the commute trips that go from outside of the Grand Parkway area into the Beltway 8. So in the same way, already very heavily traveled region within Beltway 8, and also between Beltway 8 and Grand Parkway is also going to increase in the commuter trips. With the 2045 regional plan, we will be looking at the challenges that we expect to face in the future if we keep things the same and if the commuting patterns grow the way they are right now. And these are the five challenges that we will be focusing on: congestion, safety, infrastructure condition, resiliency, and environment. Some of these transportation challenges are the indicators that tell us where we are with respect to these challenges. We already track in terms of our annual mobility report, and here's some of the numbers from our 2016 mobility report. The 2017 mobility report is still under works, which will be released pretty soon in the next couple of months. And so what you can see here is we still experience a lot of crashes, and including the bike and pedestrian crashes, and our vehicle miles travel is growing at a high rate, and our annual truck congestion cost in 2016 was about $1.12 billion. And also, air quality, even though the air quality, the emissions, mobile emissions have reduced, we are still a non-attainment area. So what I am here today is to talk about the public meetings that we're going to have in the next couple of months. In total, we will have 13 public meetings in all eight counties, and the Montgomery County public meeting will be held at the Oscar Johnson Community Center here in Conroe on April 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. The public can also provide us comments on the transportation issues and concerns using social media platforms like Twitter, and also visiting our 2045rtp.com website. And here's a brief tentative schedule for RTP. We are still in the beginning stages. This plan is supposed to be wrapped up next year around this time, February, March, 2019. That concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, Commissioner? I think it's pretty obvious that we're going to see expansive growth over the next few years. And one of my focuses in my career here has been on mobility, and as I exit, I hope that this court will keep their eye on the ball. And while I know that road construction is expensive and toll roads are, many people oppose toll roads, every funding opportunity needs to be considered. Every option needs to be considered moving forward, because if we're going to double in population, imagine this, every car that you pass today as you leave here, just double that number and think about what we're going to be facing going forward. So, commissioners, as I leave here in the next few months, I hope this court will continue to move forward in fighting for transportation and mobility issues across this, certainly across Montgomery County, but regionally as well.
Thank you very much. One thing I'd just like to point out is your presentation obviously shows people are going to continue to move here. The distance that they travel to and from work is only going to continue to grow. But one of the frustrating things that I find when I look through the RTP, and it's right here at the bottom of your, what you have on the screen now, this multimodal mobility, there is a huge emphasis in expenditures on bike lanes and sidewalks that completely drain the resources that are meant to improve mobility. You put sidewalks in places where they're not needed. You put bike lanes in places where they're not used. And it is really frustrating to see that. And I know that there are federal, when you take federal dollars, these requirements are put in, but in many points and cases, they're needless. I understand putting a sidewalk where you need a sidewalk, but forcing us, you restrict the ability of a county to use federal dollars because of cost associated with doing so. It makes absolutely no sense. So I hope that that's one thing that you can continue to think about, is each community is unique. While we may need to work together regionally to cooperate, we don't have the same needs or wants that maybe Harris County does or some of the surrounding counties. And HCAC has to do a better job of trying to force that issue.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you for that comment. And I'll take that with me, and we'll keep that in mind when we develop our plan.
Thank you.
Presentation. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item C. We have two people who have signed up to make comments on item C, and I would remind you that this does involve TxDOT's portion of 249, not Montgomery County's portion of 249. So I have Ginger Russell who signed up to speak.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Ginger Russell, Precinct 2. I'm Montgomery County Precinct Chair. On numerous occasions, I have come before this court asking repeatedly to allow the taxpayers an opportunity to vote on the 249 toll road. And repeatedly, that request has been denied by either word or inaction on behalf of this court. This past August, the Montgomery County GOP Executive Committee voted unanimously passing a resolution asking for toll roads to be placed on the ballot, giving the taxpayers a voice. Thinking this was a positive move for the taxpayers, I posted the results of that executive committee vote on my Precinct 2 Commissioner's campaign page, as well as the Magnolia Area Republican Women's page. That posting alone had me banned from both Facebook groups. Why, one may ask? Could it be that my commissioner is just one out of the three within the county who has not only afforded the opportunity to vote on the toll road, but has wholeheartedly approved toll roads while denying the taxpayers the same opportunity, a vote? I would like to also note that Precinct 2 Commissioner's campaign manager, Kristen Christ, controls both Facebook pages I was banned from. That referendum went before the SREC members and was voted on placing the resolution on the March 6th primary ballot. Note, this was we the people in action sending you guys a loud message. We do not want toll roads without voter approval. Statewide, over 1 million people voted in favor of Proposition 2, while only 154,000 voted against it. 91% of Montgomery County voted in favor of Prop 2. The Magnolia area, where we have been repeatedly told they wanted the toll road, made it clear that they do not want the toll roads without voter approval. Well, this past March 6th, we the people made our voices heard during the primary election. We are tired of our elected officials not listening to us. We have made some major, well-needed changes, and we will be given another opportunity to make additional ones on May 22nd. If the votes go as usual and as expected today, it will only add lighter fuel to the flames of we the people who are tired of being dictated to from this court and not only deserve, but are craving true taxpayer representation.
Also signed up to speak was John Wirtz.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. I'm John Wirtz, Precinct 2, Precinct Chair 69, Montgomery County Tea Party. Speaking to 11C, 249 Toll Road, almost 3 years ago, I read to you the voting breakdown from the May 2015 road bond that included the ill-fated Woodlands Parkway extension, or WPX. I mentioned that if some of you on this court didn't course correct, that it would be reflected in the next election that you'd be involved in. There were several other warnings we gave along the way that were obviously ignored. For instance, my fellow precinct chairs tried sending you a direct message last November, though only a couple on the court were listening. The message was that against our own establishment leadership telling us we had no chance of getting our anti-toll road referendum on the local ballot, we passed it 34-1. And then not only did it make it on the Montgomery County ballot, It also went statewide as a proposition. In fact, as Ginger just mentioned, it passed in a blowout both here and statewide by a 9-1 margin. My fellow Republican precinct chairs also tried to send a message with removing the tolls from the defeased or paid off 242 flyover. Once again, against your supporters' blocking maneuvers, we prevailed with a 30-13 vote. And so now the results of all your actions and our counteractions are in as of March the 6th. I don't have to remind you, Commissioner Riley, that Judge Doyle lost on those referendums. If I was your consultant, I'd recommend that you reverse course immediately and take action to stop the 249 toll road. In fact, with regards to 249, I've been in touch with Assistant County Attorney John McKinney through a series of public information requests, communiques, asking if there was ever any public discussion on any agenda by the court before moving forward on 249. We could find none. And so now I come forward with a public information request for you, Judge, also asking the court to cease and desist any further action on this toll road until this discussion is uncovered. Better yet, let's hold up on this and let the new administration make the decision on this. I have five copies of the PR.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you. Is this something you've already submitted to the county?
All right.
Judge and commissioners, this item was placed on the county commissioner's agenda in relation to some items on the Montgomery County Toll Road agenda, and this is the additional track, the other track that's being deferred off the toll road agenda items. So you, I give you that information in case you wanted to defer this because those documents aren't ready between the developer and TxDOT or the toll road that relate to this AFA.
With this specific item C here?
Yes.
Okay, because we do have some other items on the toll road authority agenda that are prepared to move forward, correct?
Yes, but not. It does not relate to this
but
item.
Not related to this item?
This relates to the items C, D, E, and F on the toll road agenda.
Okay, so if we take action on this item today, we have to redo that again when these are ready, or can we go ahead and do this action now and then take that action later?
You would not have to redo it.
But would we be approving something without having the contract, the AFA in hand? We wouldn't know what it is.
In talking to Rich Mueller today, it's not a certainty that the items that are being deferred on the toll road agenda for this matter will get agreed with the developer, so this may be a moot issue on the AFA.
Okay, so we need to defer this item today.
It certainly is a reasonable option to do at this point.
I wish we'd have known that earlier.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
So we'll just defer.
But again, this is related to TxDOT's portion of 249, has nothing to do with Montgomery County's segment of 249.
Correct. It is solely on TxDOT's portion, and like I said, this one is related to those items that are deferred, which Mr. Mueller expected to have the agreements in place with the landowner on the toll road items that to which this AFA relates.
Okay. Okay. So, commissioners, I entertain a motion to defer item 11C.
Move.
Comments? Additional? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, we'll defer item C. All right, item 11D, we do have someone signed up to speak, Mr. Yalik.
Thank you, Judge, Commissioners. My name is Eric Yalik. I'm from Precinct 3. Two quick asides. First of all, Judge Doyle, I want to thank you for your thoughtful comments on mobility a few minutes ago. Those are important points that I think all of us need to keep in mind. Second of all, I want to just quickly say that as soon as Commissioner Riley grows a no-hawk hairdo, I think that the entire commissioner's court should follow suit. I wanted to briefly talk about item 11.
What did you just say?
I'm going to move on, Commissioner.
I want to hear what you said.
I said as soon as you grow a no-hawk hairdo, than the rest of the commissioners' court should
Eric,
follow.
I'm just trying to follow your two.
Yeah. I can assure you it ain't going to happen.
Briefly talk about the budget committee, or I'm sorry, the budget office. This is an issue that the Citizens Budget Committee discussed at some length in our first meeting last week, and we unanimously voted to oppose the establishment of the budget office at this time. There are three concerns. First of all, appointment of a budget director should occur after citizen input and possibly even citizen interviews. Second of all, the appointment, we believe, should occur after the next county judge comes into office, not before, because we don't believe that a budget director should, or that he should be saddled with a budget director who is not of his choosing. And finally, there has been no effort whatsoever to reduce the county auditor's budget, which is actually, I've calculated, over $683,000 with respect to budget functions in her current budget. In other words, we're spending more tax dollars on a new bureaucracy that won't have the time to examine county departments for their efficiency and spending before the current budget process starts for fiscal year 2019. For those reasons, I hope that you will defer in the establishment of a budget office and the appointment of a new budget director. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that with respect to item 9A4, I believe, payment of accounts, I'd just like to give today's golden hammer to both Judge Doyle and Mr. Jalomo with respect to Phonoscope. Thank you.
All right. Item 11D, Commissioners, consider and take appropriate action to create the County Budget Office pursuant to Chapter C, Subchapter C of Chapter 111 of the Texas Local Government Code, and to appoint a county budget officer pursuant to subchapter C of Chapter 111 of the Texas Local Government Code. Doty, would you like to give us a little bit of a review of what the process was in interviewing this particular individual?
Yes,
and
sir.
How we got to where we are?
We had six members on the hiring committee, which consisted of Commissioner Nowak, Judge Doyle, Jim Frederick, the Chief of Staff, Evan Bissong, Project Manager of Precinct 3, and Amy Dunham, and me. We reviewed 26 applications and resumes, selected six out of those to be reviewed within the committee, and one withdrew for personal reasons, and then we had five interviews that were set up. The committee interviewed the five individuals and made a recommendation of two to be interviewed by the Commissioner's Court. Of the two that were interviewed, both finalists had master's degrees. One was in public administration and a BA in political science, plus comes with at least 7 years experience in governmental accounting and finance. The second candidate has an MBA and a BA in accounting and has like 20 years of accounting experience in the private sector. The other three candidates out of the five had one master's in finance and the other two had a bachelor's in accounting. And what we focused on was the education as well as the experience they had in government accounting and budgeting.
Okay. Commissioner, you were involved in that process. I guess probably procedurally what we need to do is first create the budget office. Is that correct, PD?
Yes, but again, you can do it in the same motion. You can create the budget office, but technically budget office needs to be created before you appoint the office.
Yeah, and I think that's what part of this court's job is to do, is to run the business of this county. And I think this is a good move for Montgomery County, putting a budget officer in place. I think it's something we probably have needed for quite some time. We went through this process pretty exhaustively with Doty, going through a lot of these applications down to a couple of finalists that the court has talked to. The young lady that I'd like to offer the job to, Miss Amanda Carter, has showed some very impressive skills and knowledge of governmental budgets and what she's done in the past. And so, Commissioners, I would entertain a motion to create the budget office and offer that position to Amanda Carter.
Move. Second.
Any other questions or comments?
Judge, I'd like to say that I understand the concern raised by Mr. Yalik. However, I do believe that Montgomery County needs a budget office and a budget office that is separate and distinct from any elected official's office. There's been some, you know, concern that, well, we should wait until the new judge comes in, or we should wait until the new treasurer comes in. Well, I don't know that that, to me, is not nearly as important as getting the right person at the right time that can do the job. And when we were interviewing these candidates, Amanda Carter stood out to me because of her ability to stand up and say no to elected officials and department heads, and to be able to stand up and fight for those same elected officials and department heads when need be. I think that this, I think that she is going to bring a level of professionalism to the auditing process that will enhance what Phyllis and her staff has been able to do. One concern that I want to make sure we address is I do believe that the audit functions that were, the budget functions that were pulled out of the auditor's office, those costs need to be identified and extracted from the auditor's office.
Agreed.
This court has agreed,
agreed
to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe next commissioner's court, you can bring some information to us, or the second, maybe too soon to do it next week. But I want to be able to identify clearly any roles and responsibilities that can be segmented out directly to the budget office. And I hope that everybody, the public included, will give this office an opportunity to succeed and give them the courtesy and the professional welcome to Montgomery County that she deserves.
And to echo a little bit of what you just said, you know, for the last few years I've been accused of trying to make myself the king and hiring people that I can control. Apparently that's what's wanted in this new budget officer going forward. I don't think it matters who the county judge is if the right person is the budget officer. And I know that Amanda Carter is the kind of person, as Commissioner Nowak said, will stand up for what is right. I believe she'll fight for those department heads that need things where they need them, and try to help them find a way to run their offices better, potentially, in areas where maybe they have a want instead of a need. And so I think it's a great move. Look forward to it. I think that walking into this is going to be a big job, Ms. Carter, and it'll take some time. I think we talked about the expectations originally, you know, initially. Get in there and get your feet wet, find out what each and every department does every day, and let us know as a court exactly what some of those real needs are. So,
Judge, last thing to point out is that Amanda Carter will report to the entire court.
Court, correct. Now, if it's okay with the court, if they're incidental items like agenda items and things like that, come to our office, that's fine. But any major issues that you have, contact any member of this court. Exactly.
Is that a motion, Commissioner?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations. Okay. Commissioners, item 12A, Darren Hess is ill today, so we're going to defer item.
Okay.
Well, do we need a motion or action on that, a deferral, BD, or can we just defer that item?
You can just defer it.
Okay. Item 13A, Constable Precinct 1. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge.
Good morning. How are you?
Looks like that old knee's working pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Binding knee.
Are they going to walk or anything?
Yeah.
Good.
We're here this morning. We had a mental health employee resign, and he was on a stipend. And we're here to ask, consider and approve the funding of Chevy Tahoe police package and equipment, total cost of $43,696. We also have some existing funds, $13,526.76, that can cover part of this purchase. So it'd be $30,169.24.
Where'd that $13,000 come from?
This is part of his salary
Stipend.
And benefits.
Okay. I move.
Second.
Commissioner?
Contingency.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Funding source, right?
Contingent.
Okay.
Contingent.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don.
Item 14A is to be deferred. Commissioners, 15A, Constable Precinct 4. Constable.
Morning, Judge. Commissioners, we have the same thing, auto allowance that's being replaced by county vehicle. Total amount is $42,329.80, and then the annual fuel and maintenance total $6,000.
Move.
Contingency. Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank
Constable
you, Constable.
Constable Gable mentioned a couple weeks ago we're continuing to have to come back to court on these items when we're replacing the auto allowances, and it's already been voted on in court. We talked about
finding a way to do that. BD, is there a way to do that without having to come back to court each time?
I don't know why we couldn't put it on contingency if that's what it is.
So you can put it on. You can put it on the consent item so long as they suggest or name a funding source.
Yep.
In the agenda item.
And can they just go through purchasing and purchasing, put this on the agenda? That's what we talked about, correct, Gilbert?
The reason this is on the agenda is because of the funding.
Mm-hmm.
They're requesting.
If we have the money, we can buy it.
Okay, maybe going forward, ask the law enforcement to get in touch with the purchasing office, and then if it's an item like this.
Well, yeah, but that's what he's saying. All they're doing is requesting the funding. Then Gilbert can go buy it.
Okay, but what I'm saying is you can just put it on the agenda as funding, you know, approval, you know, needed by, or however to say, or let's just say contingency is going to be
the
funding
language,
source.
The language could ask for the funding source to be contingency, and that would allow you to put
Perfect.
It on the consent agenda.
So
and if a member of the court had a problem
with
it.
Because ultimately, we were going to try to replace all of these auto allowances with vehicles, and so
sure, and
it's going to
happen for a while. And y'all have discussed in the past the process by which that works.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Constable.
Cool haircut.
Oh, thank you. I've
not. Never mind. I missed it. Purchasing.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gilbert.
Morning.
Item 16, approve the contracts with the following highly qualified providers. The first is Architectural Services with Veritas, the amount of $125,850 for community development.
Move.
Second.
Question or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
The second is a materials testing for Grand Pines Road with GeoTest Engineering, $119,726 for Precinct 2.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? Commissioner, is that the extension of Nichols Sawmill?
We renamed it Grand Pines.
Okay, good. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
The third one is, again, material testing for Gene Campbell Boulevard with GeoTest Engineering, $54,645, and this is for Precinct 4.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And finally, the right-of-way acquisition for FM 1097 from Houth Associates, the $464,500, and this is for Precinct 1.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gilbert.
Thank you, Gilbert.
All right. County Attorney, real property.
Yes, item 17A1 is to approve a proposed land lease agreement between Montgomery County as lessor and Conroe ISD as lessee for 6.6 acres of land and an access easement in order for the Conroe ISD Construction Agricultural Education Center on the site.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all are familiar, but the Campbell ball fields that we have out on 1484, Mr. Campbell donated 60 acres there. We've used 54 and back on the parking lot side of the fairgrounds. We have 6 acres. The school district came to us. It's been a year ago. It's been longer than that. Anyway, they're wanting to build an ag barn where kids that don't have a place to have an animal, they live in the city, they don't have room, they don't have money, whatever, they can have an animal here. It's close enough to the fairgrounds. They can walk their animals over there and show them or whatever. And I think it's a great project for the school. We don't need the property. We haven't used it in years. And it's a good lease agreement with them and a good project for the kids. And I move.
I second. I think it's great.
Great project. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Commissioners, now need to recess our commissioners' court and convene public hearings in precincts 2 and 4. First, Commissioner Precinct 2.
You want to do that or you want me to do this?
It's up to you, Commissioner. I'll be happy to do
that. All right, that's fine.
Item 18A for Precinct 2 is public hearing with regard to the partial revision of lots 1, 2, 3, and 4, Block 1 of Wood Forest, Section 94, to be known as Wood Forest, Section 94, replat number 1. There's been no objection. In fact, I believe we have a letter from the Wood Forest Homeowner Association showing no objection. Purpose of the replat is to adjust the interior lot lines between those four lots.
Is anyone here to discuss that? I don't see anybody, Judge.
No one, BD.
And the plat is ready for approval, so you will need to take action on it after reconvening court.
Okay.
And we also have one in Precinct 4. You want to take that one, BD?
I will. Precinct 18A-B1, consider and approve posting a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit for all streets in the Riverwalk subdivision.
Anyone here to comment on that?
Talk about that? I see none. Okay, so we need action on item 18A1.
And 18B1.
And 18B1, okay. We'll now adjourn our commissioner's court, adjourn our public hearing, reconvene commissioner's court, and we'll entertain a motion to approve item 18A1 and 18B1.
I move. Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Commissioner, Precinct 1.
Consider approve opening position 612-3202, operator 2, $18.50 an hour. Includes a probationary increase after 90 days. Will not affect fiscal year 2018 budget. I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Consider approve creating a new position at our recycle technician at our recycle facility, budgeted at $15 an hour, prorated amount for the remainder of fiscal year, $26,220, to be funded from 612-7997. I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, item 19B1, Precinct 4. He's not here. Want to take that up or defer it?
I defer it.
I'm fine with defer it.
I believe I would, too.
Let's defer B1. Okay. We will now recess our commissioner's court.
Before we recess, can item C, consult with county attorney about release of employee information in relation to open record request. I'd like for County Attorney Lambright to just address the possibility of us having some or all of this conversation here in open court. I believe that part of the issue regarding that it's paramount to our employees to know and understand what happened, and there's always a potential for a lawsuit. There's none filed yet, and we just need to at least let our employees get some information about how it happened. So, Mr. Lambright.
I think that our employees also deserve some protection of their privacy and security. That's why I thought maybe in the light of potential litigation, we should have this conversation, at least the legal questions in executive session, then we could discuss
agree
it.
Agree with
after.
That. Legal issues.
And I think I can address that and honor both of you. I completely agree, because my office has done a lot of work, countless hours over the last couple of weeks on this issue. And I think it is very important that the population in general, county employee population, knows what's been done, what we've identified, and so forth. Given that, given the way this is noticed on the agenda as consult with county attorney in executive session, I think the better practice is let us talk about it in executive session. Any advice that we may want to give you, and if you want to come out and take any action, you can do that. And then I welcome a full and complete discussion and really looking forward. Where are we? What have we discovered in this process? And we can do that after executive session fully and completely.
Okay.
Good. All right. So we will now recess our commissioner's court for executive session under Article 551071, 551074, and 551076.
I forgot about those plaques.
Let's bring the court back to order, please. There's no action necessary out of executive session. Are there any citizens that would like to address the court on an item that was not on today's agenda? Great. Moving forward. No. Bill, you've already spent your time. Sorry. Yes, you did. Anybody else?
Move we adjourned.
Motion to adjourn. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned.